Hi, I'm Pinakin Munshi. I'm a mechanical engineer by qualification, and I have about 36 years of experience in various functions, starting with production, engineering, sales, marketing, and large part of my experience has been in supply chain, spanning almost, you can say, 12, 13 years. So today we are going to cover the topic of global supply chain management, and the first chapter that we are going to cover will be on introduction and background to global supply chain. So what are the objectives of this particular chapter? We will understand what are the basics of the global procurement, what are the need, why do you require global procurement, what are the features of global procurement, understand how it has evolved over a period of time, understanding, you know, the evolution of supply chain 4. You've already heard of supply chain 2, 3, and now we are talking of supply chain 4. So what does it mean? What are the important differences between domestic purchase and the global procurement? So this is what we are going to cover. Structure will be, we will have the introduction to the global procurement, what are the objectives, features, and what are the key activities of global procurement, how it differs, you know, from the local procurement. important differences between domestic sourcing and global procurement, and then introduction to supply chain 4. So introduction to global procurement, it's, as we all know, procurement is a strategic activity. And when you say strategic activity, it's an activity which is aimed at the long term, and it's aimed to give you an advantage and edge over the competition. So procurement can decide whether how successful a business will be. So the procurement function is an important driver of cost and responsible for spending the allocation of the budget. We always say, you know, that the sales and marketing are the people who earn the money, whereas the procurement is the one which spends the money for the company. So we also have some of the key drivers for the procurement, which are, you know, political influences. You have the infrastructure and the climate change, shifts, currencies, cultures. And we will see how these affect, you know, how global procurement takes advantage of these things. So the evolution, the objective, the features of the global procurement, we'll see it in 6 steps. So as you can see here, that it starts with, initially it's about serving the factory, you know, just providing the goods, etc. The second step was, you know, trying to get the material at the lowest cost. Third was coordinating purchasing. That means, you know, you are trying to bring material as per the requirement, and you are introducing the concept of inventory controls, etc. Aligning it with your SIOP processes, cross-functional purchasing. Then you have the next step, which is world-class supplier management, and then entrepreneurial purchasing. So this is how the procurement has evolved, whether you call it local procurement or global procurement. So what are the objectives of the global procurement? The most important objective is, you know, low landed cost. That means you try to get the best possible material at the lowest possible cost, which will give you a low cost, because as you know, your product prices are driven by the market today. In a free economy, you are selling the product as per the market pricing, what the customer is willing to pay. So your profitability depends upon how cheaply or how at a lowest cost you can make or manufacture your product or deliver your services. Elimination of inefficiencies in procurement and control over the cost. So you are not looking at just the product cost, but you are looking at the overall cost. So it's a total control over the entire cost across the value chain. So the third point is evaluation of own manufacturing and outsourcing decisions. The organization constantly evaluates opportunities where the non-core activities can be outsourced to a significant extent. Now, you know that most organizations have certain core competencies. For example, you know, Apple, the core competency is design of the product. The execution, the manufacture is happening, you know, through partners who are located across the world. So, the companies have to make this decision of a make or buy. The core activities, you know, which cannot be, you know, handled by the company themselves or can be handled more efficiently outside, they have to be outsourced. Sometimes it doesn't make sense to do things in-house. The biggest example, as you know, is the automobile industry, which heavily depends on ancillaries because it requires very wide range of materials, very wide range of technologies, which is very difficult for a company to establish and to manage on its own. So you depend on the ancillaries which supply the products. Most automobile manufacturers basically focus on two areas which they handle themselves, what we call as make themselves. That is the chassis and the engine. So being the core component, they normally, even there, largely a large number of components are outsourced. So this is an important decision that organizations have to make. Reducing the risk to the business through managing supplier concentration. One of the important aims of global procurement is also to develop a resilient supply network. So you need to strike an optimum balance, you know, as far as the supplier concentration is concerned. You don't put all the eggs in one basket. At the same time, you don't have a portfolio of suppliers which is too large to manage. Also, it doesn't make sense to fragment your orders or your demand across too many suppliers. Consolidation of your requirement also has its advantages, which we will come to as we go ahead in these chapters. The second point is embedding global best practices in the procurement process. As the organization actively matures their process from local procurement to global procurement, the best practices of respective geography over a period of time are consciously embedded in the procurement process. So when you are globally procuring, then you are also exposed to the best practices that vendors or suppliers across the world are adopting. They may have better technologies in terms of communication, in terms of the collaboration with you as a buyer organization. And you know, these have to be incorporated. And why it needs to be done? Because when you are doing global procurement, the lead times are very high. The distances are high. There are very high freight costs, etc. So you need to manage things much better because your reaction times are going to be longer. Result-based purchasing and reduced learning curve as the business becomes more complex and technology advances. The business needs to become more critical and expect a faster response. So again, the same point that, you know, the situation, any correction takes a longer time to take effect. Suppose you are bringing material from Europe, then the typical sailing time will be about 3 to 4 weeks. So any correction or any change you make in your planning will take at least that much time. Else, you will have to incur additional cost of bringing the material by air, which will entail a lot of cost. So you need to have, evolved, you know, purchasing model when you are doing a global procurement. Your planning process, etc., have to be highly evolved. Reducing risk to the business through managing supplier concentration. One of the important aim of global procurement is to also develop a resilient supplier network. So as we discussed, you know, in global procurement, since your lead times are very, very high, you need to have very resilient suppliers who will supply on time, who can guarantee the quality, because any rejection or anything will throw your operations out of gear. Embedding global best practices in the procurement process. As the organization actively matures their processes from local procurement to global procurement, the best practices of respective geography over a period of time are consciously embedded in the procurement process. So as we discussed this in one of the earlier slides also, You are exposed to the best practices followed by the vendors elsewhere, and also the technology. So you need to gear with that to take advantage of the, you know, the higher speed of delivery. So you need to align with the best practices and the procurement processes, the technologies which are involved in global procurement. Result-based purchasing and reduced learning curve. So as the business becomes more complex and technology advances, the business needs to become more critical and expect a faster response. So as we have seen that there are, you know, quick responses required in case your demand suddenly shoots up or suddenly the demand falls, then you need to respond very quickly. You have a very long pipeline of the material flow because of the higher lead times. So there is always material which is there in the pipeline for, let's say, a month or so. So any changes that have to be made, they have to be, much faster. Your systems have to be more agile. Innovation-led purchasing, one of the key objectives of global procurement is to inculcate an innovation culture in the purchasing function. So with the products, the market demands innovative products, be it cars, be it, phones, or be it any product. And the procurement function has to keep pace because technology is changing. The components which go into your product are changing very, very fast. And you need to, also have a procurement which is innovation-led. You need to identify new vendors, new technologies, learn about those technologies in order to procure them effectively. Develop new technology and capacity. More often than not, the domestic supplier lacks capacity to significant extent for want of investments. So you will also have to look for the new technologies. Now, in India, we see that many of the suppliers are small, medium, even micro level, okay? So these people have a limitation as far as what they can invest in growing the business. And they will be the ones who will be, a little slow in adopting the new technology. So constantly the procurement has to, nudge or push and try and develop the new technology. Or sometimes you have to select vendors who can really invest in the new technology, which may be necessary for, the innovation which is being incorporated in your products. So it's crucial to understand the technical capability of the supplier and sustainability of the product profile of the company. You need to know what are the technical capabilities. So what we talked about, if there is a component which requires a CNC machine, then it's necessary that, the supplier has CNC machines and they have a process capability which can meet the kind of tolerances that you're looking at. Likewise, I have given this example in one of the earlier chapters that a company which is supplying, let's say, gas cylinders, they will require resources in terms of, very skilled welders, etc., who are capable of very high quality welding, who are highly qualified welders, because the product, is going to handle in very inflammable product, and that's why the guarantee comes partly from the resources that the vendor employs. Ensure that your prospective supplier has sustainable technical capabilities to support you, your sourcing requirement at all times. So he has a sustainable capability. So it's not that what he has today, but as the technology advances, is he capable of upgrading himself? Is he capable of upgrading the technology that he adopts? As you know, a couple of years ago, we were using the mobile phones, which were did not have the touch screen, etc. So naturally, when you are moving to a newer technology, then your vendors also need to move with that. Else, you will have to look for new vendors. Even otherwise, when you are making incremental improvements or changes in your product, the vendors need to upgrade along with you. So you need to look at whether the vendors are really capable of upgrading. Ensure that the savings generated from procuring from low-cost countries do not get eaten up by maintenance of high level of inventories, bulk procurement cost, and high risk of obsolescence. So many a times it so happens that your cost, procurement cost, or the cost per piece may be less, but because you have very high lead times, you have very high lead time for ordering the material, you may be required to hold high inventories. You require to hold inventories to take care of two things. One is your lead times and the variability in your consumption. So it should not so happen that you are required to hold very high level of inventory. And another risk of holding high level of inventory is if you have a product design change or there is some innovation, then the inventory that you are holding may become obsolete. So one has to ensure that you are not sub-optimizing your procurement process. Over a period of time, safety and environmental compliance is emerging as one of the key criteria. What do we mean by this? Increasingly, the world is becoming more conscious to sustainability and the green manufacturing, etc. People are labeling their products, customers are buying the products simply because they feel that the products are more eco-friendly. Now, to do that, you need to have support from your suppliers, from your vendors, because when you are certifying a product, then it's a cradle to grave kind of a concept that we are talking of. So you have to make sure that they are also complying. Also, from the statutory point of view, it's very important that they are not violating any of the safety and environmental standards and that they are completely complying. Because many a times, as far as the global companies are concerned, they are held responsible even for the behavior of their vendors. Like, for example, in the apparel industry, in the fashion industry, you must have seen that in Bangladesh, there was a major accident. And the brands which were sourcing their apparels or the clothing from there were held responsible for encouraging this kind of a culture where the human lives were not valued, the conditions in which people work were not valued. Most companies have this code of conduct for the supplier, which requires that there are certain conditions which are met as far as the employees are concerned, and also child labor, etc., should not be employed. So compliance is also a responsibility of the buyer organization, especially when you are a multinational. So in global sourcing, it is important to select the right location, and many factors play a role in deciding the same. So right location, because yes, you can have a location which is giving you the cheapest product, but like we discussed, if the lead times are too high, then it doesn't make sense. Just to give an example, automobile industry, the ancillaries are supposed to be located as close as possible simply because they work on the JIT model, the just-in-time model. And for that reason, the people have to be very close. The further the supplier from your location, more will be the complexity, more will be the speed with which you will have to act for making any changes or any corrections. It is also important to critically evaluate the decision of setting up of manufacturing plant in overseas location. So like you are sourcing from a overseas location, even you have to critically evaluate if you want to set up your own manufacturing plant in the overseas location. Because, the difference is going to be that instead of a third-party supplier, it is your own plant or your own affiliate which may be supplying the material to you. But the complexity will still remain. Yes, the collaboration levels will be much higher because if it's your own entity, but nevertheless, the lead times, the travel times, the ocean freights, these will remain more or less the same, and that's why they have to be considered. It is also crucial to understand the impact of compromising intellectual property while sourcing from low-cost countries. It's a known fact that there are certain countries which are known for not respecting the intellectual properties. One of our affiliates in one such country, we transferred the technology, to manufacture a product there. And before even we could launch the product, we found that the technology was leaked and a similar product was already in the market. Fortunately, the technology could not be correctly understood by the people who have, leaked the technology. So the product failed in the market, and we decided not to transfer the intellectual property for local manufacturing. And we said we will continue to manufacture the product at the site we were already manufacturing. So this is also an important decision, that if it's a product which has a trade secret, which has a manufacturing, which involves intellectual property, then you should be very careful when you are deploying it or you're sharing it with your supplier that it does not leak out, because it can take away your USP. So what are the features of global procurement? So it promotes procurement of nearshore countries as part of global sourcing strategy. So this we already discussed, that it's always beneficial to source from nearshore countries. We took the example of the automobile ancillaries, which are always located close to the assembly line or the assembly plant. So your lead times will be shorter, your transportation, freight, the other related costs will be less, your system will be more agile. Requires a trade-off between low-cost procurement vis-a-vis investment in inventory and increased transportation cost. This also we have covered, that the further your supplier is from you, you will require to hold higher inventories to cover the lead time and the variability in the demand. So it's a trade-off. You need to actually optimally consider where your supplier should be. Unless it's absolutely necessary, you find that the supplier, you have no other option, then you will have to trade it for holding a higher inventory. Endeavors to move beyond just the cost advantage. So it's not always about only cost. So as I said, many times the technology that is offered by the supplier is very unique. It is something that only he can supply. So in that case, cost is not the only thing that you look at. Let's talk about it, that the product you sell doesn't sell mainly because of the cost. It's also the value which is perceived by the customers. And the other features that your product offers. So cost being one of the factor, as we said, cost decides your profitability. The price is decided by the value your product, presents to the market, and what is the best price it can fetch from the market. Requires setup of a local procurement office at respective geography. So in many cases, if your volumes that you are procuring from a location, from an offshore location, is very significant, then you will also have to have a local procurement office, which will basically coordinate all the procurement activities from that location. So management of extraterritorial regulations. So you not only have to take care of the regulations within your own country, but also the regulations in the country from where you're buying the product. There could be regulations like from certain countries when you buy the product, it is subjected to inspection, and you have to submit your products for inspection 1 week before the shipment can occur. Also, there are some countries where there is an export tax. So like we have the import tax or import duty or custom duty, you also have the export tax. This we talked about the tax, but apart from the tax, you also have the local regulations relating to the pollution control boards and labor laws, etc. So you will also have to take care of the local laws relating to movement of goods. If your goods are of a dangerous nature, then all those regulations have to be complied with. So that is also something that the procurement has to take care of. Category management, basically categories are, you know, a group of materials, you know, which require special expertise, and you know, you require highly specialized people to basically manage these products, because they require special knowledge, not only about the material, the product, the manufacturing, but also about you know, the markets, etc., and the market dynamics, the drivers, the levers to the market. Subject to global risk, so you know, when you are procuring globally, you are exposed to higher risk, because the entire value chain is much longer. So in terms of natural calamities, man-made calamities, political unrest, any conflict between the countries, like a war, they can affect, because not only can they affect if it is in the country from where the goods are coming, but even the shipping lines, you know, can be affected. If there is a conflict between nations, then, you know, your material has to travel a longer distance to actually come to you. So you are subject to higher number of risks as compared to the local procurement. Use of advanced demand planning and forecasting methods. So as we said, you know, because your lead times are high, any changes that you know, you make in your demand plan, it'll take longer to take effect, which means that either you end up with very high you know, safety stocks to take care of any variances or any delays in the arrival of the material, or you need to have very advanced system which will, you know, plan to a much higher level with a much better accuracy. Involves engagement of global sourcing representatives. So you require also certain experts, you know, who will be able to support you in this global sourcing. These representatives can be from your organization. Maybe they are situated or located in the country from where the material is being sourced, or they could be third-party representatives who could be helping you for a fee or a commission. Requires significant change in the structure of purchasing function. So with all these changes, it requires a different approach. It requires a different mindset to actually go for a global procurement, because it differs from the local procurement in terms of your mindset, in terms of your outlook, strategy. So what are the key activities of a local procurement office? So we talked about the global procurement representative. So now we are going to talk about the local procurement office. So market research for identification of new supplier. So the local procurement office will generally be located either close to the country from where you are supplying, or within the country from where you are going to source your material. They will be doing the market research, you know, to identify new suppliers, because as you know, the more the competition, better will be your, you know, chances of negotiating a better commercial value. Evaluate suppliers for necessary qualification on a basis of defined criteria. So you may already have defined criteria regarding the technical requirements, regarding the compliances, the quality standards that they follow, the internal quality systems that they have. So if you have a local procurement office, they can actually do a supplier audit. They can, you know, go to the premises and even maybe inspect the material when the consignments are ready. Perform inspections to get assurance that the supplier will be able to meet the quality expectation of the organization. So this includes both the supplier audit, which is normally before the selection of the supplier, and also at regular interval, you do this kind of audits or inspections of the site to see that they are complying with the regulations, and they are also complying with your own requirement, the requirement of your organization. Study the logistics planning and execution of procurement operations. So even how the productions have been planned, how the shipments have been planned, they can actually follow up for it, impress upon the supplier the need to, you know, expedite certain orders, etc. So they can be your local representatives who can support you in ensuring timely supplies. Evaluate the local and global regulations impacting the procurement. So since they are already located in the country from where the procurement is happening, from where the sourcing is happening, they are better aware of the local regulations, and as we mentioned, they also will ensure that the supplier is complying with the regulations. So like we said, you know, I mean, simple things like if you're sourcing from a country like Bangladesh, then you need to actually check whether they are providing the right environment for people to work. There is no exploitation of labor. They are not using child labor, etc. And this is just one example, but when you talk of regulations, there are many. It could be in terms of the effluents which are discharged, which is, you know, the pollution control, etc. Develop a qualified supplier database for future procurement purpose. So as you know, more the merrier. If you have more number of suppliers, you can set up a competition between them to get the best commercial value. So they can actually qualify the suppliers. So you do an audit of the suppliers, you shortlist the supplier. So as and when you require the material, it could be that you may be supplying sourcing from one particular supplier. But in case the supplier has a calamity or some accident and he is unable to supply, if you have a database, you can quickly develop another supplier to ensure you know, that you continue to get your the components or products without any interruption. Explore opportunities to integrate the procurement process into the organization. So they will also integrate the process into the supplier organization, in the sense that integration of the demand planning module, etc., so that you have a very seamless kind of demand planning, very seamless communication to the supplier, so that they are better prepared and they can respond much faster to any changes in market demand. Thank you.